How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, Daf 117 of Masechta Yevamos. Friends, we're getting close to the end, you know? Well, today's Daf, we talk about this woman who testifies that her husband was dispatched to Wellwood. So could she chop around the ksuba? So we talk about that. Then we get to some like fancy mother-in-law, sister-in-law, daughter-in-law kind of stuff. Friends, it's like the end of school, you know? You know, like when you're a kid and like school's over in like a week and you just like, you know, nothing can bother you. Like you see the end is in sight. Friends, the end is in sight. We're going to do this fast. I'm not getting caught up on mother-in-laws and sister-in-law. We're going to try to do that as fast as we can. And then we're going to get to another Mishnah about testimony. Okay, good. All right, we're going to start off. Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Beshami Om Tinose Visito Ksuboso. Beisila Om Tinose Velosito Ksuboso. What? So Beshami says that, so you have this woman and she testifies that her husband was dispatched to Wellwood in the words of our great friend and colleague, our comrade, Reb Dennis. In the words of our comrade, Dennis. Let's go weiter. So, she testifies that her husband was dispatched to Wellwood. So then she gets remarried. Okay, so we believe her, she gets remarried. Can she chop Orion the Ksuba? That's the question. Beshami says yes, Beisila says no. Let's read it again. Beshami om tinose visito ksuba, so she can get remarried and chapara in the ksuba. Beisila om tinose velosito ksuba. Whereas Beisila says yes, she can get remarried, but she can't chap the ksuba arayin. Okay. Amru loim Beshami. So now it says Beshami to Beisila. They say, I don't understand. Hitartim erva chamura. Lunatim momun akal. I don't understand. Based on her testimony, you're allowing her, we're concerned that maybe she's still married, maybe her husband is alive, right? And we're saying no. She says that he's gestorben, she can get remarried. So we're permitting Eishes Ish, which is in Erva, Isser Karis. I guess it's also like Chenek and all sorts of things. So, but we're saying that based on her testimony, that's okay. We're not going to give her some money. We're not going to give her a ksuba, which is merely financial. To which Beis Hillel counters that, well, we see that based on her testimony, based on her testimony, the husband's, the now assumed to be dead husband's brothers are unable to inherit him, to get into Chaperain is Nachla's inheritance, and that's financial, and we see that her testimony is unable to enable them to inherit their brother, and that's financial, and it doesn't go through. Amulem Beis Shammai, to which Beis Shammai, what's in my ears? Oh, oops. Okay. Amulem Beis Shammai, to which Beis Shammai responds to Beis Hillel, Valo Misefer Ksuba Nomur. But one second. We could just look at the text of the Ksuba. It says, Shukosibla, that he writes there, Shim Tinosi La'acher, Tidli Mashukosub Lichi, that once you are able to marry somebody else, you can chapra on the ksuba. So Kidu Hiposhit writes to her, the husband writes to her, that if you're able to marry somebody else, such as now that you're testifying and now you're allowed to marry somebody else, we trust her, she can marry somebody else. So it says in the ksuba that then you'll be able to chapra on your ksuba. So certainly she should be able to chapra on the ksuba, argues Beis Shammai. Because of Beisila Lahoros, Kedivi Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel then agreed with Beis Shammai that she can chapara in the ksuba. Excuse me, I put in my earphones, not my earplugs. Give me a second. Let's swap that. Ever since I was in the United States, remember the Nudnik used to play his games next door? So it was very distracting to me. And so I would put in earplugs. So it wouldn't work. I mean, I would still hear it. But ever since then, I've been putting in earplugs to try to drown out. There's always somebody, you know, there's always somebody who wants to bother me. That, you know, whether it's the Nudnik over there or the people in the park or whatever it might be, they're out to get me. It's a conspiracy. They want Babylon Talmud to burn. Friends, we should probably go fight her. Yikes. Amr of Chizda, says of Chizda, Nisyabma Yavama Nichnos Lenachla Alpia. What? Yes. What? Yes. Nisyabma what? Oh my dude. I gotta read that right. Amr of Chizda says of Chizda Nisyabma that if she does Yibam, right? Because we said, right? What is it? Mezbaili Tinose, Mezbaili Tisyabim, right? That she testifies that her husband is dead. So if she has children, or if there are no brothers, she can get married to somebody else. If there are no children and there are brothers, so then she does Yibum. So in the event that she did Yibum, so Mevchizdin is Yabim, she did Yibum, Yivam v'nichnas l'nachla apia. So then her Yavam, the brother who married her, can chaperain the, at that point can chaperain the inheritance of her ex-husband, of her late husband. Alpia, based on her testimony. Heim darshu medrash ksuba. After all, in the Mishnah, Beis Shammai was sort of expounding the text of the ksuba to say that if you're able to get remarried, that once you're able to become remarried, you can chaperain the ksuba payment. So we may as well expound the words of the Torah. Anu lo nidrash medrash Torah. Will we not expound the verses of the Torah? Yakum al shem achiv. That Amr Rahmano, that the pasuk says that they'll do yibum and then yakum al shem achiv, and right says v'hayu abachor, right? We learned this was a drasha that we learned a way back, that the drasha is that whoever does yibum with her will be able to chap the nachla v'arekom, and they did yibum, so he could chap arayin the inheritance of the late brother. Omer of Nachman, says of Nachman, Bos levezdin, if this woman comes to Bezdin and she says, the Omer meis baili yitiruni li nase, and she says, my husband died, let me get remarried. Matir nase li nase. So, we say, okay, and we allow her to get remarried. Vinosin la ksuba, ksubase, and we award her the ksuba payment as well. Tnuli ksubasi. But if she comes into Bezdin and she says, give me my ksuba payment. Doesn't say anything about getting remarried. Doesn't say anything about her husband being dead. She comes into court and says, I want my ksuba. Afli nose in matir nose. Certainly we don't give her the ksuba, but we don't even allow her to get remarried. Her mind, she just wants money. We can't actually trust her for anything. My taima hakom adati the ksuba asoiv. She's just coming to collect the ksuba. The truth isn't necessarily the most important thing over here that she's coming for, and therefore, she doesn't get the ksuba, she can't get remarried, fine. Hibaylu, but they want to know. Itiruni li inase utnu li ksubasi. What if she says two things? She says, let me get remarried, and I also would like to collect my ksuba. So mau. So what do we say in that case? Kevin the armor ksubasa, adaita the ksuba asoi. Do we say, well, since she's mentioning the ksuba, that is primarily what's on her mind, and we cannot trust her. Or maybe, look, when a person comes to Bezdin, they say everything that they know, anything that could possibly be relevant, they'll put on the table. Right, and therefore, she's saying, look, I want to get remarried, I'd also like to get paid my ksuba, like, you know, everything that's relevant. She's telling the truth, but she also wants to make sure that all the relevant things are going to be addressed. And therefore, she is trustworthy. And if you're going to say, look, she's trustworthy, and the reason why she mentioned the ksuba is just because she's mentioning everything that might be relevant in this case. So, tnuli ksubasi bitunuli inosima. What if she says the opposite? Give me my ksuba. I want to collect my ksuba, and also I want to get remarried. So, achavade adati the ksuba asoi. Do we say that since she mentions the ksuba first, so definitely she's coming with her ksuba in mind? Odilma hold lo yada b'may mishtaya. Or maybe do we say, look, she just didn't know, you know, she didn't know what was the thing that she needed to mention. Is she supposed to mention the ksuba? Is she supposed to mention the marriage? She didn't know. So she's just saying everything possible. So take Lamaisa, we don't know either, Lamaisa. Friends, now we get to this Mishnah, which talks about mother-in-laws and sister-in-laws and daughter-in-laws. Oh my, right? And I think I was thinking about that on Shabbos also, actually. Mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and sister-in-laws. Oh my. You ever saw that movie, The Wizard of Oz? I wonder if I've ever seen the whole thing. That's an interesting shaila. I've definitely seen parts of it. I mean, I haven't seen it in quite a while. I haven't seen any movies in quite a while. Over 2 years. Pretty sure I haven't seen a movie in over 2 years. Since Babylon Talmud. I've seen, I think, one movie since Babylon Talmud, I think. Anyways, so I definitely haven't seen The Wizard of Oz. But they say there, I think, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, or something. Mother-in-laws and sister-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, oh my. Hakon Eman La'ida. So everybody is believed to testify that a woman's husband died. Chutz, with five exceptions. Mechamosa, her mother-in-law. Uvas Chamosa, the daughter of her mother-in-law. Vitzarosa, her co-wife. Vivimta, her potential co-wife, right? The wife of her potential Yavam. Uvas Baila, and her stepdaughter. Okay, so those people, it's assumed that those people have it out for her, and they just want her to mess up, so we can't trust her. Okay. Ma bein get lemisa shaksav mochiach. What is the difference between a get and misa, right? Because we say, we're gonna learn mesech the gittin, which isn't so far off anymore. Friends, we're really moving. You know, we're like about a third of the way through Shas. I mean, we're about 2.5 years into Babylon Talmud out of 7.5. And that's pretty awesome. I feel like forget that. I was gonna say, in some ways, it's like we're halfway, but, or maybe, yeah. Wait, when we say like a chomesh, a fifth is really a quarter, right? So I guess if we say a third, that's really half. No, I don't think that would work. Okay, whatever. I guess that would be like a quarter is like a third. Okay, that doesn't work. Friends, what was I even saying anymore? Yeah, we're like a third of the way through. Ah, right. I was saying that we don't have that much more. This is book 7. Yevamos is book 7 of the 20 book division. So Ksubis is 8. And then 9 is Sota, Nazir, and Nidarim, I think. That's book 9. And then book 10, I think, is already Gittin. Gittin isn't that far off. What's it, like a year maybe? Less? I don't know. Less probably. Okay. So we say in Gittin that even these women who we just enumerated in our Mishnah that cannot testify about, to say that a woman's husband died, but they would be able to deliver a divorce document to her. So how come? So ma bin get lemisa. How come they're allowed to deliver a divorce document to her, but not, testify that her husband died? Say aksav mochiach, because in a document, you know, the document is really what's doing the testifying, not them. So therefore, they would be able to deliver this document. Okay. Now, frekta gemara ibaylu bas chamia mau. What about the daughter of her father-in-law? You mentioned the daughter of her mother-in-law. What about the daughter of her father-in-law? Do we say time devas chamosa, that the reason why we can't trust the daughter of her mother-in-law is mishum deika ima desanyala, is because, well, since the mother-in-law hates her, because she's concerned, you know, that if her husband dies and then the son will inherit the father, then he's also going to be inheriting, like, or I guess if both of them die, I don't know. If the son inherits them, the mother and the father, so then she's going to be like chapin arayin from stuff that that the mother-in-law contributed. Anyway, so since the mother-in-law hates her, so then hinami sanyula, so therefore the daughter of the mother-in-law also hates her. V'achaleka ima de sanyula, but in the case of the daughter of the father-in-law, the father-in-law doesn't hate her, so therefore maybe the daughter of the father-in-law doesn't hate her either. Or maybe we say the reason why the mother-in-law hates the daughter, this right wife, is because right, she's going to chop her eye from like the inheritance, and she's not pumped about that.
Do we say that the daughter of the mother-in-law hates this woman because, like, since her mother-in-law is, you know, concerned that the daughter-in-law is going to be like chapin arayin the inheritance? Well, the daughter of the father-in-law is also concerned that she's going to be chapin arayin the stuff of the father-in-law. So that's the question. Tashma, hakon eman la'ida chutz michomish noshim. Well, the Gemara says, well, We say that there are only five exceptions. V'misa shishavion. And if it was also the daughter of the father-in-law, then it would be six, not five. Dilma time of the vas chamosa, the amr ko'achla, the girsin, or the vei nashoi, loshna bas chamosa, v'loshna bas chamiyo. Correct the Gemara, but maybe we'll say that the reason for why the daughter of the mother-in-law hates her is because she's going to be hopping around from the mother-in-law. Well, she's going to be hopping around from the father-in-law as well. In which case, maybe it's the same reason. If it's the same reason, so then really there are just one reason. So like adding the daughter of the father-in-law doesn't actually make it six. It's the same thing as the daughter of the mother-in-law. So it's just really the same thing. It's still five. But we have, what do we do with the price that says with the exception of seven? Well, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Titania is within the price of Rabbi Yehuda. Mosif af eshes of ve'akala. The Rabbi Yehuda also adds a stepmother and a daughter-in-law. Amulo eshes of arei b'chal basabal. To which the rabbis responded to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says seven. The rabbis say five. They say yeah, but the stepmother is basically the same thing as the stepdaughter. Kala arei b'chal chamosa and stepdaughter and daughter-in-law is basically the same thing as mother-in-law. Alright. Which Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean they're the same? I understand why the mother-in-law hates her daughter-in-law. As we said, you know, because this woman's going to be chopping her eye from the inheritance that I contributed to her. My time of Sanya l'chamosa. But why would a daughter-in-law hate her mother-in-law? Bishlama bas abal, the Sanya l'eshesov. I understand why I understand why the daughter-in-law would hate her father's wife. Because she's chapping her ayin like the stuff that my mother, who's also that man's wife, is contributing. But why would the mother-in-law? Well, why would the stepmother hate this woman? Ella my mosif tarte. But then, Rabbi Yehuda, why are you adding two? If we're saying that the daughter-in-law and the stepmother don't actually, like, hate this woman, so then why are we saying that they can't testify? Ella, kala, my time is signing the chamosa. How come the daughter-in-law hates her mother-in-law? The megala livna called the avda. Because her mother-in-law is telling her son, her wife, all the stuff that she's doing, and she resents that. Eshesov nami, Sami Levasaval, and also the stepmother hates her. Demigal Lavia Komada Avda, because she's telling her father all the stuff that the stepmother is doing, so she also hates her. Rabban Kamaim Aponim Laponim Kain Levadim Laadim, and the rabbis say meh. The rabbis say, look, the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law are basically just opposites. They're the same thing. It's the same. They're just symmetrical, like the same thing. So they're included together. And the stepdaughter and the stepmother are basically the same thing. Also. Rabbi Yehuda says that pasuk is talking about studying Torah, that if you really go deep into the Torah and really try to go deep into the Torah, it goes deep into you. Friends, Musar Haskel from Daf Kuf Yud Zayin of Masecht Yevamos. Kamayim aponim laponim kein leva adam laadam. That the deeper you go into Divrei Torah, the deeper the Divrei Torah goes into you. Wow. How amazing. Rav Acha bar Avya said, "Bob Marava, they asked in Eretz Yisrael, Chamosa Aba Leachar Mikain Mau. Can you trust a potential mother-in-law? So, like, I don't know if it's a situation where if like she potentially testifies that this woman's husband is dead, well, then she might do Yibum with the brother, and maybe this is like another brother who then, if that brother dies, then maybe she'll be like the mother of like that brother, and then maybe she might be his mother-in-law in the future, and." Maybe then, before she can't testify about him now because she might end up one day being his mother-in-law. Do we have to be concerned about that? So, Mimaska died to the Mizbal v'nofel kamayovim. Do we have to be concerned that, well, maybe everyone's going to die and someone shall end up being the mother-in-law and she's going to hate her? Besanila, she's going to hate her, Olo, or not, Tashma, come in here. Omer Mizbali v'chakach mezchami tinose. That, if a woman says that my husband, right, she went away and then she says, look, her husband died and then her mother, and then her father-in-law died. So Tinase Vitito Ksubaso, Ksube, she can immediately get married and get her Ksube Vachamosa Asura, but her mother-in-law cannot get remarried. We don't trust her vis-a-vis the father-in-law dying. My time, Chamosa Asura. How come the mother-in-law is Asura? Lav Mishim Damina and Lo Baila Mais, Lo Chamiya Mais, is not because we assume that neither this woman's husband nor her father-in-law died. But the Kamarachi, the only reason why she's saying that they died is the Kokula Lechamosa, it's to mess up her mother-in-law, Uducha Mechavna. The Savra Levasa Shaita, Lotesi Titstyron, that she says, look, you know, I'll worry about it later when my mother comes back all, when my mother-in-law comes back all angry at me if they end up coming home alive. So we saw over there that, like, you know, she isn't necessarily, you know, she'll even sort of mess up based on like future events that like maybe her mother-in-law will come and be upset later. So we see that like even future stuff can be like taken into account. To which we say, Shani Yosem Durogish Latsire, but it was different over there because since they were like already married and it was like already his mother-in-law, she like kind of wanted to like, you know, mess her up. But here she wasn't yet the mother-in-law, so maybe like there's no hostility yet. Okay, moving on. Friends, let's like get back into stuff. I know I basically just ran through that because I was just kind of over it, but let's like, this stuff is like kind of interesting again. So, Eid Omer Meis Vinises. Okay, so, deep breath. So one witness comes and says that this woman's husband is dead. Okay, Vinises. So, you know, she got married. And then, Uva Echad Va'amar Lomes. Now another witness comes and says, actually, he's not dead. Sare Zolo Teitze. Look, it's one witness against one witness. She already got married based on the first witness. She doesn't need to get divorced. Eid Omer Meis Vishnaim Omer Lomes. Now, if one witness says that he's dead, but then two witnesses come and say he's actually alive, well, then Afalpisha Nises Teitze. Even if she got married, she cannot remain with this other person because with the new husband, because two witnesses just testified that her husband is actually alive. Shnayim Omer Meis, if two witnesses said that the husband is dead, Ve'eid Omer Lo Meis, and one witness says that he's alive, Afal Pi Shelo Niseis Tinasei, even if she hasn't yet gotten married, she can get married because two witnesses said that her husband's dead, the one witness is irrelevant. Now, Frekti Gemara, time of the Niseis, Alo Niseis Lo Tinasei, right, the Mishnah had said, I'm going to read the first line of the Mishnah. Eid Omer Meis, if one witness said that he's dead, Vinises, so then she got married based on that testimony. Uva Echad Va'amar Lo Meis, Hare L'Zolo Teitzei. And then, after she's already married, one more witness comes and says, no, actually he's alive. So we say, forget it. They're already married, she could stay married. Implying that the reason why we don't take into account the testimony of the second fellow is because she's already married. Implying that if she was not yet married, then maybe we would say, wait, hold up. One person says that he's dead. Another person is saying he's not dead. He's alive. So maybe she shouldn't get married. It's one and one. So time of the Nises, implying that the reason why she could stay married to the second guy is because she already married him. Halo Nises lo tinose. But if she didn't yet marry him, and there's one witness saying he's dead, one witness saying he's alive, she shouldn't get married. But didn't Ula say, Komokam Shemina Torah, Eid Echad, that wherever the Torah believes one witness, such as here, Hare Kan Shnayim, then we trust them as two witnesses, Vein Dvarav Shel Echad B'Mokom Shnayim, and therefore, when the one person comes and says that he's dead, so we treat that as though it was two witnesses, and then when the second person comes and says that he's alive, it's one against two. So, Achi Kamar, so this is what we're saying, Eid Echad Omer Meis, if one witness came and said that the husband is dead. One witness came and said the husband is dead. V'tiru li nase. And therefore they said, okay, she can get married because we treat him as though it was two. Uva echad v'amar lo meis. And then after we said, okay, you can get remarried, she didn't yet get remarried, but we said you can get remarried and we trusted the first witness as though he was two. And then one person comes and says that he's alive. Lo teitzei me'eteri rishon. So no, she can continue. She could still get married because we treat it as one against two. Two witnesses said he's dead. She can nonetheless get remarried. You know, even though one person said he's alive. Eid Omer Meis. We said if one witness says that he's dead, so then she gets remarried. But then after she's married, two witnesses say he's actually alive. So we said she cannot stay together with the new husband. So Pshita, this is obvious. Dein Dvarav Shel Echad B'Mokom Shnayim. You know, the first witness, I know we just said a minute ago that Ula says that if we trust one witness, we trust him as if he's two. But, I mean, if two real witnesses come, well then, we're going to trust them more than we're going to trust one witness who we're treating as if they're two. So now over here we have a situation where one witness said that he's dead. She then got married, but then two real witnesses come and say he's actually alive. So we have to trust them. Obviously they can't stay together, you know, the new husband and her. So lo tzricha b'psulei edus. So here actually we're talking about where it was people who are not generally considered to be witnesses. So for example, if it was two women, right? So for example, if one witness came and said that he was dead, that the husband is dead, so then she got remarried, and then two women come and say that he's actually alive. So the chiddush here is that even though, you know, generally speaking, women would not be witnesses, but in this case, we're saying that if there are two women who are saying that he's alive, so then we assume that he is alive and they cannot remain married, but she can't remain with her new husband. That whenever the Torah says that you can believe one witness, well, then it becomes a numbers game. It's about, you know, numbers. So if one witness says that he's dead, so then she gets remarried, but then two women say that he's alive, so it's two against one. We go based on the testimony of the two women, and she cannot remain married to the new husband. And we treat two women against one man like two men against one man, and therefore they cannot remain together. Vibay Seima, if you want, I will say, kol echad de also eid echad kosher, that if it was one man who came and said that the husband is dead, and then right, the osayid echad kosher meikara, right? So one man came and said the husband is dead. So afilu meya noshim keir echad damin. So even if 100 women now came and said actually he's alive, they would be treated as the equivalent of one man. So it'd be one against one. Elikagon da asoy. Rather, the Mishnah is talking about isha meikara, that it was a woman who came initially and said that the husband is dead. V'tirtze l'drav Nechemya hachi, and explain to Rav Nechemya in this way. Rav Nechemya almost says, Rav Nechemya komokum shamina Torah eid echad, that whenever the Torah believes one witness, go based on numbers, and we treat two women against one woman like two men against one man. And therefore, if one woman said that the husband is dead, and therefore she got married, but then two women said that he's actually alive, so then she cannot remain married to the new guy. But if it was one man who said that her husband is dead, and then she got remarried, and then two women come and say he's actually alive, we treat that like one against one. And we said earlier at the beginning that if one witness said that he's dead, and then one witness said that he's alive, we treat the first witness like two, and assume that he is dead, and they could remain married. Shnayim omrim meis v'chulei. If two people had said that he's dead, and then one person said that he is alive, so even if she didn't yet get married, she can get married because two people said that he is dead. So my kamash malon b'psule edos uchudu emnechemio da'azu basur of deos hainuach. Right? So what's it coming to teach us? I don't know if it's all one question or if it's a statement and then a question, but the point is that, you know, even if you're going to say that it's talking about psule edus, right? So two women said that he was dead, so, and then one woman says that he's alive. So we assume that he's dead and she can get married. But we already know that. We just learned that it's the same case as before, that when, you know, that we go based on the numbers, the bigger numbers. I may have thought to say that, look, when we go based on these numbers, it's to be stringent, right? For example, right, if we said based on one woman said that he's dead, so she gets remarried, and then two women said that he's alive, so they can't stay together. That's a chumrah. So maybe we'd say only to be stringent, we would go based on the numbers. But to be lenient, such as over here, when two women say that he's dead, and then one woman says that he's alive, to say that she could nonetheless get married, even if she hasn't get married yet, that we're being lenient, where the chiddush is that we even say to be lenient as well, and she can get married, even if she has not yet got married. Friends, that was Daf Kuf Yud Zayin of Masechta Yevamis. The Daf started off talking about the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Initially, Beis Hillel said that if a woman testifies that her husband is dead, she can get remarried, but she cannot collect her ksuba. Beis Shammai says that she can collect her ksuba. We then said that Beis Hillel actually agrees with Beis Shammai that she can collect her ksuba. We talked about five women who do not testify who cannot testify, right? Her mother-in-law, her mother-in-law's daughter, her co-wife, her potential co-wife, and her stepdaughter. Right? Those are, we said, even though they cannot testify about that the husband's dead, but they can deliver a get because a get is based on the content of the document. And then we had a Mishnah that explained that if you have one witness who says that the husband is dead and then another witness comes and says that the husband is alive, we go based on the testimony of the one who says that he's dead because we treat one witness like two witnesses, right? If ever we are able to trust one witness, then they are treated like two witnesses, and therefore the second individual who comes is, it's one against two, so we trust the two witnesses who said that he's dead. We then saw the opinion of Ibn Chemya, who says that we could trust women, we could trust the witnesses who are generally not considered kosher witnesses over here, and then it becomes a numbers game, right? So if it's two, we trust whoever's more. So if there's one who says, you know, that he's dead, but then two say he's alive, we assume that he's alive. If two say that he's dead and one say that he's alive, so we assume that he's dead. It goes based on whoever has more numbers. Friends, that was Daf Kuf Yud Zayin of Masechta Yevamos. I hope you enjoyed. Peace out.